Hey, it's spiralbrandrecord.org and welcome to Podcast 30. This week I'm joined by Bambi, Lance and Kittle Prototype, and we're going to be talking about the price release for the Xbox One games. Half-Life 3 has finally been released. I know we've done it every week, but it's finally been done it this time. The multiplayer for Arkham Origins, a topic that we've been discussing, which is about the open world versus narrative pushed games and what we think would be better for a way forward. And also, Microsoft owns all of your fanfics for Halo. So enjoy.
That's fine. See, this is the beginning of a podcast.
This is the beginning.
This is a beginning. It's not the beginning.
Could be the beginning. It's the beginning of this podcast.
Okay.
Yeah?
I think we can agree on that.
Oh, no, now I'm going to disagree on that. No, it's not.
So what is it the beginning of?
The rest of your life.
Beginning of the rest of your life.
From this podcast.
From this podcast onwards.
From this podcast forward, I am officially alive.
Yeah, because who knows beforehand? It's not like you've been on any others.
I've been on loads.
We could have been faking your voice.
Wait, what?
Oh, hello, I'm Matt. See? That was you.
That sounded just like me.
You see? It
sounded just like me. That does sound a lot like me. Dig!
Dig.
Wait till you get the exclamation mark.
Yeah.
I think it's on the wall.
Could be on the wall.
Go on, Dom. Jump.
For clarification, Dominic's playing Sonic.
And
looking for keys.
I found some rings.
Anyway, Matt.
Yes.
You gave me topics.
I did.
Toothpicks.
I also gave him toothpicks.
Yeah.
There you go, Dom.
Let's start with your favourite thing ever.
Batman.
Batman. You know things about Batman.
I do know many things.
Tell me all the things you know about Batman.
They released the trailer for Origins multiplayer. Look, Dom, run around till you get a little thing above your head. That's what normally happens.
Yeah.
Check the wall to the side where that big thing is there.
Batman.
And yeah.
That's Batgirl. Clearly it's Rouge.
True. But yeah, and the trailer looks very cool, because the basic idea is there's two sides with three henchmen each, so three Bane henchmen and three Joker henchmen, and they have to fight each other in a third-person shooter
goons.
Kind of style.
Goons. All of the goons.
To take over checkpoints.
That's cool.
While at the same time as two other people playing as Batman and Robin, trying to take them down and intimidate each side so that they leave.
Okay, so it's like...
Sounds complicated.
So, from the goons' point of view, it's Halo domination.
Yep.
Or any other first-person shooter. Third-person shooter.
Capture the flag. Third-person.
Wouldn't say capture the flag, because that involves returning something. Whereas domination is
take
bases.
Yeah,
take bases and such.
Only one key.
And then it's like the...
Right.
What was the thing in the first two games? Where you had to take down people in certain ways?
Invisible Predator.
Invisible Predator. So it's like the Predator when you play as Batman and Robin.
The game-type mode is called Invisible Predator.
Okay.
But it looks, from what I've read, apparently it's more interesting playing as a goon than it is.
I feel like it would be really slow as Batman and Robin, just swinging from rafters, waiting for people to walk below you, and then, bam, take them out.
As far as I could tell, they would make the maps more open, so there'd be a lot of grates to hide under and things and you've got all of the gadgets at your disposal as well.
I think it would be more interesting as a goon because you'd be that. What would you do primarily? Be there shooting the other guys or looking into the skies for Batman and Robin flying about? That's my point. That's what'd be more interesting because you might be looking in the skies and you end up getting shot more, or then you end up shooting the baddies and then suddenly someone takes you down.
So I think as well, like when goons level up, they'll have access to better accessories and upgrades.
Yeah.
So like you can choose to have night vision goggles, so when you look up in the rafters and the gargoyles, you could see Batman and Robin just hanging out.
Crashed.
Yeah.
And then it came back.
And so that's just the multiplayer of that. Is there anything else to it, or is that will there be other game types in the multiplayer?
I'm not sure. That's all that they've announced.
Do you know when it's going to be out?
They have given a name. A date?
I think.
Don't it? Let's have a look.
Pretty sure it's a...
Okay, so it's a launch title, isn't it?
I don't know if it is. I think it's a current gen title.
They're both, isn't it?
I'm not sure. But it is really soon.
The
Xbox One announced their launch prices for games, and first party games will cost $49.99 in the UK,
which is a lot of money.
It is a ridiculous amount of money. And you're googling Arkham Origins.
Yeah,
just Wikipedia should have it.
The game is coming out sometime. What have we got? Dates?
October 25th
and No, yeah, it's only current. That's strange.
Because the next gen isn't until November.
Yeah, but there are games coming out August, which are also coming out on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. So,
but I think
because like Madden 25 comes out this month, and that's a big title on the Xbox
same
One.
Same as FIFA.
Yeah,
they will always have like same. I think wasn't this year's FIFA the last PlayStation 2 one, or is it next?
FIFA 14, the one that's coming out at the end of this year, is coming out on the PlayStation 2.
Yes, yeah, I think it's the last.
The PlayStation 2, which has been discontinued for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But people still have them, and they still buy them.
I don't know, I feel like most people who have a PlayStation 2 have either upgraded to a next-gen of console. I don't think there are people out there...
I don't think they'd only have
yeah, PlayStation like, 2. If you're that big about it, that you play games, you wouldn't just have a PlayStation 2, because you haven't been able to get new games for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Unless you're a FIFA player. Which, you shouldn't own a console if you're a FIFA player. it's not a real game. Like, we were talking about this when we were playing SSX before. The achievements on that were very much sports achievements. It was do things for the first time, and then do all of the things.
Yeah, it was a matter of, like, getting medals and try, like, your first grinding and your first, and then it's, like, finish everything.
Do all of the grinds,
gold.
Yeah.
That's the quicker way.
Like, I don't know, I don't think it shouldn't be released on PlayStation 2. I feel like they're not going to make any money out of that.
Maybe. I think...
Tiny amount.
I think they would make a tiny amount, but it's EA.
Well, for that one person who hasn't upgraded to the next gen of consoles. Yeah,
just before the next gen. Well, you never know, they might get their Xbox 360 this year.
Or their PlayStation 3, which are going to become dirt cheap and everyone's going to get one.
Yep. Well, I'm thinking of buying a PlayStation 3 just so I can play some of the...
Karis wants one just for Crash Bandicoot.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I want to play Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, she gets to play Crash Bandicoot, and I get to play Infamous and The Last of Us. So I think it's a really good deal.
Yeah. See, I was having a look at that, and there's quite a lot of like RPGs on the PS3 that I really want to play.
I think I went through it, and there was only like 7 games that I would get on the PlayStation 3.
See, I have quite a few more than that. So I've got the
as in exclusive games that I couldn't get on the Xbox.
No, no, that's what I meant. Like, but mine are more kind of JRPGs, like Tales of Zillia. And
I think we say Vesperia.
Yeah, no, JRPGs.
Huh?
Huh?
Yeah, he loves his JRPGs.
I do love my JRPGs. That's my favourite genre of games.
Terrible.
You could get that one that Tony's been playing.
Ni No Kuni.
That's that, yeah. Is that on the PlayStation or is it on Xbox
PlayStation.
As well?
Just PlayStation.
You could get that. That's a JRPG, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like Pokemon.
It is like Pokemon. Whereas like Tales of Zillia is more like Final Fantasy.
See, that's what I think when I hear JRPG. I just hear Final Fantasy and copies of Final Fantasy.
That's what it is. It's Final Fantasy and so everyone else.
No, the Tales games are... I'd actually say some of them are better than a lot of the Final Fantasy games.
Well, that's good, because Final Fantasy wasn't really... Sorry. Sorry, opinion much.
that's not anymore.
But that's Matt's favourite game ever.
Wait, which game?
7.
Oh, no, 6 is my favourite Final Fantasy game.
I mean, I thought you loved 8. No, wait.
I do like 8.
Eight.
7 traditionally people's favourite.
Yeah, traditionally. But
8's the card first game, right?
Yeah, 6, but 6 was the first one I played. So, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So I always get 6 and 8 mixed up.
Yeah, but...
Seems I've never played either of them.
That's quite impressive.
What's the one where Advent Children was made?
7. 7. I keep going by
because you're not attacking him. Jump and homing attack.
Yeah, so
how you play Sonic?
He's very powerful.
The PlayStation being like 70-80 quid.
The 3.
Yeah.
Is it really going to be that cheap?
I've seen a few pre-owned.
Pre-owned.
He's not here now.
Not always,
but the majority of times.
Most of my games are pre-owned, and I think my console is pre-owned. My console is pre-owned. It works fine.
Good. Well, a lot of people trade in pre-owned PS3s when they got banned from the network.
How does that... Is it the console gets banned?
Yes. Yeah. If they do something worth getting banned for...
So they ban the Mac address, they don't...
Yeah, they ban the actual console itself.
And so there'll be a lot of people buying pre-owned consoles that would never work?
Yes, we get that a lot anyway.
Is there not a way to check?
Is there not a way to unban it? If it's been sold?
No.
So you get a lot
that
of people ringing
been
in
banned because that console did something. So it doesn't matter.
You should ban accounts, not consoles.
Yeah, as well as accounts.
That's.
But I don't think you should ban the console. That seems a bit.
I suppose that's to stop people then just getting a new account. But
you can get a new account.
Yeah.
But if you're dissuading people by potentially having to spend and cost them about 150 quid, you know, they're going to not do it.
Yeah, but then you're screwing over these other people who are buying pre-owned consoles. I get that's not their fault.
But then down to the retailer, if they try and make a network account and it doesn't work, then they can check it that way.
Xbox would never do it that way.
Don't get into that.
No, I'm hoping James is listening by this point.
Oh, God.
Apparently he listens to podcasts, our podcast, while in the shower.
That's odd.
His tweet was like, oh, if you want to listen to three guys talking about games while in the shower, that's what I'm doing.
That makes it sound like you were talking about games while you were in the shower together.
That does sound that would make for a much more interesting podcast, though.
Just like a really large, or three showers close together.
just one really large, like a shower.
Like in the showers that you get at swimming pools, where like communal showers.
Yeah.
Just be like, no one get too close to the mic, because... So, guys, what do you think about the Xbox One? No, that's not going to be a podcast for me.
Matt was loving the idea.
I was.
Hey, Dominic, now do a jump and do a homing attack. Quickly, go!
Go.
There we go.
I avoid...
You did avoid it, well done.
It's a good word as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm going to get a PlayStation when it's cheap, just so I can play through all the RPGs, right, which I don't need online play for anyway.
Killzone's awesome.
Yeah,
that's just an FPS, right? Good.
Yeah,
FPS on an alien planet with sort of normal technology, really, apart from big mechs.
I thought it was like, what was it? Like Colonial Expo. We've moved on from our planet, but there was like a nuclear war. Is that not what it was about?
Well, basically, there's one big... The Hellgast are the enemy. There was a nuclear war on the... well, not a nuclear war as such. The leader didn't want to get captured, so he set a sort of self-destruct nuke off.
As you do. That's what I do.
Kill the ISA, which is effectively the...
Americans. Yeah,
the Americans.
They probably had it coming.
They are American.
But yeah, it's always a massive struggle. There's huge, great spaceships and stuff in play as well.
So I like FPSs. So
yeah. Well, also, you get to play Dust.
Yeah, yeah. It's their Halo.
To Halo.
Yeah, it's their Halo.
But you get to play Dust as well, which is in keeping with
Dust.
Yeah, it's basically
what Tales of Elysium Dust or
no,
a different
Dust
game?
514.
Okay.
It's with Eve Online.
Oh, you know what you're talking about. It's the FPS that links with it. Yeah.
But it's included in the universe and the lore of Eve.
Okay.
So someone invades a planet and you are the troops that invade.
It's like playing Halo Wars.
Yeah.
Cooldown ordnance and...
Halo Wars?
Not a good game.
yeah.
Okay.
It's quite an awesome game. And also, when you die, you lose your stuff.
So it's permadeath.
No, it is respawn. You just buy a kit. You buy like 15 of this. And,
oh right, so like
and you make a loadout.
Yeah, yeah.
And you lose your stuff if you die, so you have to buy more.
Just like Counter-Strike is the way you could do it.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if the new one's like that because I haven't played it a lot. But the like 1.6 and Source, it was you had what loadout you get like 16,000 at the beginning.
Yeah, and then you buy a loadout.
Buy what you want, yeah.
And you earn money by killing.
Yeah. And if you haven't earned enough money, you can't buy your loadout again.
So you just start off
so
with
it was,
a pistol.
All I ever did was it was F1, which was previous loadout, or F2, which was best I can get with my money. Otherwise you'd be there for ages being like, okay, what's the first one and what's that?
Yeah,
well,
so
what I used to do on the original was literally open the thing up. Obviously, by that point, I've memorised all the numbers, so tap all the numbers and then just previous loadout every time.
Yeah. Oh, no, it did get to that in Counter-Strike. If you knew you play it enough, you could just be like 5-2 and then be done. That's cool. Yeah. Do you prefer playing open-world games or narrative-driven, like, linear games?
Depends on the game.
Yeah.
Well, no, but if you had a choice...
If I had a choice...
Like, if you had a choice between... a Skyrim-type open-world game where you could do whatever you want, or a Halo, not Halo, I'm going to name FPS games, I'm trying not to, but Mass Effect, you know, third person. Mass Effect, very much linear.
But it's not, because no, there Mass are side Effect's missions, more... it's quite open world. See, that's the kind of game I would prefer, where it's kind of open world, but there is a linear pushed story.
I'd say... Mass Effect, it reminds me a lot of sort of the Spyro way of doing it. You've got the hub world, which is the overworld map system, and then you choose where you go and do the individual levels.
See,
the levels are linear, but you have an openness of what order you do them in.
See, Mass Effect reminds me of like kind of like Final Fantasy VII, up to a point.
It's Mass Effect always reminded me of Knights of the Old Republic.
It's like up to a point, it's linear, and then after that point, it's like bam, here you go.
Is it linear or linear?
I always say linear.
I say linear.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Just what I've been told. Like Final Fantasy 13, you play through what you think is the entire game, and then you get to the open world bit where you've got another entire game to play.
That's quite a good combination.
Is it like that?
There's a long way where you cannot do anything but follow the path.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm agreeing with that. And then it has a field.
And then it's a massive great field where it takes a day to walk from one side to the other.
It's where you can see the Titan over the mountains, yeah?
Yeah, I remember that field.
But that's as open as it got. That was the only open part. And then as soon as you left the field, it went back to being linear.
Was it a field with two entrances?
Yeah.
It's still linear.
I actually had about seven.
I think it had...
That's just a very open map. That's still
linear. It was a very open map, but it was called open because after a certain point, you could go and do the... missions where it's go and kill this monster in this
that was for the Titan.
You get a quest from one of the stones
and then it's like, oh no, you have to run over to this map and do this thing and then come back
and forwards and back.
Yeah, but it wasn't really open. I didn't think it was open. 13.2 was open because you could jump through time.
It's not just you got 4 foot by
I wouldn't class those games as being open.
I'd say the older ones were.
Oh, the older ones definitely were.
But now, not
because of the whole overworld map. Yeah. You could go wherever you wanted, really.
Final Fantasy X, when they first went to... You can see the monsters.
I'd say 10 was linear as well.
It's got more linear, but a bit more open world as well.
Because even the boat part of it, where you're travelling from island to island, you had to go in those island orders.
Yeah.
So there wasn't... It gave the illusion of open world, but it wasn't there.
When you're saying open world, you mean Skyrim, Fallout,
Far Cry,
GTA,
State of Decay.
State of Decay.
Dude, love that game.
It is an awesome game.
But I think like having a game like that, like Skyrim was good, and the Fallout's good, and GTA's always been awesome. But I do think you lose a lot of the
Red Dead.
Red Dead, yeah. But you do lose a lot of the story being. Because you can just run off for ages and forget what you're doing.
Some games in this open world format...
Something sort of in the middle, where it's sort of a pushed storyline. You can go off and do other missions as well.
I've found Far Cry 2 doesn't push the story enough. I'm running through it, and there are little blips on the map where there is a story mission here. Yeah. Or it doesn't even tell you what kind of story mission, it's just that there is something to do. But it takes forever to get to that point, because it's too big... And on the way, there was one bit where it's at the top corner of the map, and I'm in the bottom corner of the map, and I need to get there. So I start going north, and I get, because the map is divided into little sections, I get two sections up, start getting into this big ambush, have to go a section to the right, and then end up back where I started because I need to go get weapons, because I've run out of ammunition, because it's just not there. There is a bus fast travel system, but I was nowhere near them.
Right.
And I hadn't travelled far enough to get to them. So I'd spent an hour and a half, and I'd gone in a circle. Nothing. Yeah. I had fun. Don't get me wrong. Getting these outposts, I was sniping everyone.
It was
brilliant.
What's good about those sorts of things is when you get distracted just by doing all of that. You get a lot of gameplay out of those sorts of games.
I wanted to do the mission. I wanted to progress the storyline, because nothing had happened. No story or anything. Whereas I feel that State of Decay did it really well. So the story mission it wants me to do at the moment is I've got to go over to the next town and talk to the judge.
And it's very apparent how you do it. Yeah. It's easy enough to do.
Yeah, that's the next thing I've got to do.
Travelling there is
because it's quite far.
Long,
yeah.
But you can drive.
Yeah, and over the radio, the girl at the church, Lily, keeps going, oh, there's a thing you need to go check out, and you keep hearing messages from the judge. Reminding me that this is the story mission, and if I go to the map, it's there, it's flashing at me.
And
but I can do other things if I want to. I can choose not to do it.
Have you done all the... Where you had to go up to the little hillbilly house?
The Wilkinsons?
Yeah.
That's the next thing I'm going to... That bit has just opened up to me.
Yeah, so if you don't do that, it's like, oh, you're going to pay him a visit.
Yeah. So they keep reminding you of the story, but you don't have to do it in that order. And I like that. It pushed it enough. But whereas on Far Cry, at no point have I had someone radioing me going, hey, why don't you go to this town and sort out the jackal? The jackal needs to be stopped because there's this big civil war going on. Never happened.
Far Cry 3.
That would be a good thing.
Well, it pushes it.
When you're running around, because there's loads of little things you can do. There's not so many side quests, but it's like take over guard towers or go and do a couple of missions.
That's what they said.
But if you're running around doing that or just hunting tigers.
I feel like I would do a lot of time doing that.
That is what I spent the majority of the time doing. trying to get in all the rare animal missions
and like hunting sharks as
I feel if
but then every now and then you get one of the main characters being like Jason you need to go and do this.
You feel a bit of an urgent sort of need to go but and do it like,
so I loved Skyrim but I never once had a sense of urgency where I wanted to get through a story.
I
think Skyrim carries it off really well.
It's no,
a casual game.
It's really hard to get the open world done well, but they do it well.
It didn't push the story, maybe, because there was no one telling you, but you could just go into your inventory and go, there you go, story mission, side quest mission. Yeah. There were things you could do.
Yeah.
Whereas in Far Cry, point is it I can go, these are the missions I have open, I'm going to go and do them. I feel if Far Cry 2 had the RPG that Far Cry 3 has, I'd be happier because I could just go, do you know what, I'm going to go level up my sniping, I'm going to go level up my skinning animals and all that. Yeah. But it doesn't even have that. The only
There's no RPG leveling elements in it.
All it is just collecting weapons, buying them with the diamonds, and...
Like Rage versus Borderlands.
Yeah. Oh, well, God, yeah.
Borderlands has the RPG stuff that makes it much more interesting, where Rage is just run around.
So would you consider Borderlands linear or open world?
Borderlands is
it's a very good balance.
It's open world, but you have to complete things to progress.
Because when you have the maps have more than two exits for them. And it's not like you enter this map and you exit the map over there. It's you could go in many different directions.
But
and
eventually you do have to take that linear path to get to the end. So
it's like Mass Effect had that. So after a point, you could go wherever you want and do all the side quests. But to get to a certain planet would involve you starting the story mission as soon as you get there.
I think if we're going to class a game as open world, it literally needs to be one huge map.
So you can do
Skyrim or any Elder Scrolls game,
basically,
really.
Basically, the only games that really pull that off.
Or Rockstar games, in fact.
The only games I can really think of that pull that off are the Elder Scrolls games.
Yeah. You always liked Morrowind.
I did like Morrowind.
Did Morrowind push a story at all?
I think it was a long time ago,
Because I remember...
It was more open than... I remember switching to Oblivion and thinking... Oh, they're pushing the story.
Oblivion did push it, I know that.
Because I know Morrowind was very much, what am I doing? I'm in a new world.
But you liked that, didn't you? You liked the fact that you could just do what the hell you wanted.
Yeah, I remember when I first played, I was a brand new character and I ended up on the DLC island where it was really, really hard. And I was like, I asked my brother, I was like, what's going on? Why is it so hard? And he was like, you've gone to the island where you're not supposed to go yet.
You've gone to the island of death. Don't do that.
It shouldn't allow me to go there until I'm a certain level. And he's like, well, it's open. You go wherever you want. You can go to the places where it's really hard.
Yeah, you can get to a bit where you're stuck because you're underpowered.
Yeah. Is it like you said, Grand Theft Auto?
What are you saying, Borderlands?
No. I never finished 4, so I don't know if it still does. But even Grand Theft Auto had you had to get past a certain part in the story to get to the next island.
Like
Vice City and San Andreas. To unlock, the bridges were closed.
Unless you got the dodo chip and you were able to jump. I jumped the tank on Vice City from one island to another. Always proud of that.
Yeah, the turn the turret around.
Use the recoil to get speed, yeah.
It's the low graph cheat, wasn't it?
It's the dodo cheat. It's what turns cars into planes.
Yeah, but you can do it with low graph as well.
I thought it was the same thing. They were two different cheats.
I suppose maybe. Either way.
Yeah.
I only remember.
But yeah, I mean.
Hold back on the right stick and press forward with the.
It's how you would do a wheelie on a bike.
Yeah.
But it would just make you lift off. But yeah, it's open world, but it breaks it up. So you've got open world on this one little island, and then you can have a bonus one, two islands, and then three islands. Yeah,
and then by that point, you finish the story.
See, Grand Theft Auto, I feel it pushed the story enough because you have the, like, you
do what you want on the first island, yeah, and then you do the missions, yeah, to get to the next island, and then you've got the
right. So I think Rockstar has got it down. Well, I mean, as well,
yeah, because like
Red
on
Dead
4,
is exactly the same as that.
On 4, you'd, yeah, get phone calls to do stuff, yeah, if you hadn't, yeah, done it enough. And on your map, you had the little the D sign for this, for Dwayne, I think it was on number 4.
D for Dwayne.
Yeah, but so you had Marie, so you had all of this stuff on your mini map telling you that there were things that you needed to do. So it pushed it enough, but you could just ignore it.
Yeah. And you get your buddies saying, hey, do you want to come in for a drink or do, yeah, this and that and the other? So they invite you out and you go.
My only problem was, I played it a couple of weeks ago. I'd completely forgotten how to answer the phone, which, if you think about it, it was really easy because it's a green answer button and a red hang up button. There are buttons of this color on the controller.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I figured that out in the end. but my buddies only rang me to go for a drink when I was on a mission, so that was kind of annoying.
Yeah, you can ring them to go for a drink as well. If they're free.
Maybe. So, yeah, you say Rockstar got it good. Yeah, what was it like in Red Dead?
Red Dead's exactly like you have a certain part.
So they ring you up on your mobile?
Yeah.
On your cup of string?
On my cup of string.
It's a pigeon. Come back and go, oh, pigeon.
A certain Jim, let's go for a drink. Levels, you get to go to Mexico.
Okay.
Yeah. And there is bits that are harder. Yeah. So you can't really go there until you've got a bit better at the game.
Okay. That's still quite cool. So, what are we saying? That we like open world more than we like linear?
See, I'm the other way around. I prefer...
I do love good bit linear.
It's like some... Most of the games that are in the middle, where there are side missions that you can go up and do, but the main mission is...
Like I said, it's the problem I have with Skyrim, is that I found Skyrim too open.
Too much to do.
Yeah.
Like, if I wanted to, I could spend hours and hours and hours doing nothing but blacksmithing.
I think that's the point.
I did.
And there wasn't any push.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I did, because I got my blacksmithing full, so I could get the...
I got
thingy on.
My what?
That's why I don't play that game, because I know it just swallows up hours and hours and hours doing,
like
progress that far.
What I did is I played as the mage, but I wanted to be a battle mage, so I leveled up my enchanting and my smithing so I could get some awesomely enchanted armor so that I couldn't be touched if someone tried to get me,
yeah,
but I had all these powerful mage spells.
Yeah.
So, and I did that from the beginning. So I started off at a very high powerful level. But I put in the work to do it, so it's not like...
Cheat.
Yeah.
In Skyrim, I basically played as a paladin.
Did you?
Well, I played, like, sword in one hand, healing spells in the other, and epic armor.
Mine was epic armor, black magic, destruction magic.
Mm.
So, yeah, battle mage. It was awesome.
But I don't think that Skyrim pushed the story as much as it could have. Whereas, I was saying to you that Bioshock Infinite is just pure story. There's, like, a bit of exploration you can do, but it's within...
Yeah.
Confines, but the story like is so good that I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it keeps you engrossed, yeah, that's all you need, really.
But on the other side, Arborest is quite an awesome game, and it's literally little dots on a world map. So you move to the next dot, have a battle. Move to the next dot, have a town. Next dot is a battle. Next dot is a battle, sort of thing.
What's the idea of that
really
game?
Cool. It's a bit like... tactics game. So like Tactics Ogre, Final Fantasy Tactics and that sort of thing.
Oh, bet you
played
that.
That's like XCOM.
You played. Oh, okay. XCOM. Okay, yeah, yeah. So
it's on a grid, so...
I didn't like the look of XCOM.
I really liked it.
I know it's like all this big and great game, but it just... I
want to get it from playing the demo.
Didn't look as good to me.
Yeah.
I'm interested in the other XCOM game.
Yeah, isn't that meant to be
the original? No,
there are two games
Enemy
coming
Unknown
out.
Enemy Unknown is the remake of the original.
Right.
And there's another game called XCOM.
Like XCOM Unclassified the Bureau or something like that.
Okay.
And it's
nothing
it's
to do with the other
with,
one.
Like, kind of area, whatever, 51 and stuff.
Did you ever play that game?
No.
Area 51.
Was that an arcade FPS game? Because I remember a game years ago, which I played on arcade.
It was a PS2 game. Well, maybe Xbox.
Because I mean like an arcade gun in hand, like gun shooty.
No,
well, it wasn't actually.
Not amazingly. What I really, really liked about that game was there was basically information points. Like you could pick up letters, look at like documentation.
Hmm.
And it's got loads of different stories and things about what they were doing there. So one of them's about Sasquatch.
Oh.
It's an escaped alien. And the other one's what they do with the... Was it fluoride in toothpaste? It's
fluoride in the water. That's a thing in America, a conspiracy about fluoride being in the water.
Yeah, and this note said basically, this is our waste product, so we just ship it out in toothpaste and stuff.
Okay.
Get rid of it.
Yeah.
So it makes a massive point of a conspiracy theory. But it's quite an interesting game for that reason.
So going to linear games, one of the most famous linear games, Half-Life.
Yes.
Finally announced number 3. We push this every week. Oh, it's been announced, just in case it happens. They've actually announced it.
Yeah.
End of next year. It will be on PC and console.
But that's the same sort of waiting time as Diablo 2 to 3.
Yeah. Well,
that was too long.
The thing that I think it is they may keep working on this game, but by the time they get round to a point where they could release it, the technology has advanced so much.
Yeah.
Like, they must have been working on this game through all of these years since episode 2.
Technology
has increased. I mean, there's a whole new set of consoles out, so they were like, maybe we should revamp it so we can release it on the new consoles.
That's what it takes.
Yeah.
So they've got, is it 7 years to finish? Before the next gen?
Yeah, yeah. but no, they've said, or not that, someone who works for Valve has said, end of next year. So they're skipping the whole episode 3 thing. What they've said is because Half-Life 3 is going to be so different to Half-Life 2, they don't think releasing an episode 3 would be good because it's different. It's not the same story. They've moved on from that.
So no more Gordon Freeman?
No, it's still going to be Gordon Freeman, but I mean, like, you had Half-Life was that story. Yeah. Half-Life 2 was this story, and episode 1 and 2 added on to
of that story.
Yeah, DLC, if you will. But Half-Life 3 isn't continuing that story. It's the next step. Which I should probably go and finish episode 2. Because I never did.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
What, a bit like how there was Assassin's Creed 1 and 2, and then there was Revelations of Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then
there
they went back and did 3.
Yeah, and then there's Black Flag.
They should have just stuck with Revelations.
Have you seen the stuff they've released about Black Flag?
The Black Flag was good.
Yeah, Black Flag.
Oh, my God, it looks amazing. And they've released stuff about the Abstergo real world thing, which I didn't think they were going to do, because they've never done that before. They've always just talked about the assassin part of it.
Yeah.
They've never spoken about it, but they've released...
Yeah, they've always hinted towards a lot of... Like, today.
Yeah.
Modern day.
But they've released screenshots and everything of what the Abstergo building looks like. I mean, it's just individual screenshots.
Yeah.
Does that mean there's going to be an underworld, effectively, and an overworld? So the DNA world and...
It always was like that.
Yeah.
But a free-roaming real world.
I think, yeah, because you play as an Abstergo person... I think there will be a whole bit where you come out of the Animus and you can just explore the office, which would be awesome. I think that'd be really cool. I don't know, because each floor would be its own map. Unless it wasn't and you just went upstairs or something.
If they made it so that you could actually go outside and you had to do missions within...
Well, it depends where they want to go with it. Like, you're playing as this guy in Abstergo. Technically, you're the bad guy. So,
from what they've said about the old-time stuff, that looks like it's going to be one giant map.
It is.
Open world.
Giant map,
more
like 134 islands.
Yeah.
But you don't fast travel. You don't sort of...
There is fast travel.
There is fast travel, like the sewers, but in 3 you had your beginning island. Then you got on a boat and sort of fast travelled, but not to the next island, but you couldn't do it on your own.
Yeah. The way they're doing on this one is, you know, like the high points, the eagle points, they're fast travel points now.
That's a good way of doing
it. Yeah, so what it will be is you'll fast travel there, and your ship, the Jackdaw, will be in the bay of that closest point. So it's as if you did travel there, and you went up to the high point.
Yeah.
But, no, it looks really, like, so that's...
Will there be hay on the ship?
Hay?
So you can dive onto it.
I don't know. Maybe there is a couple of guys walking around with a sheet. Is it? Really? Left of it? Right of it? who knows? But
you jump onto a sail.
Yeah, no, there's that. There's sails everywhere. Mm. The jib, that's how you get back. But from the gameplay one, have you seen the gameplay trailer?
Yeah, it does look really good.
Like, so you've got the missions that you can do, and then there is just random loot things. Like, you'll drop, there'll be this little collection of islands. You go there, there's a dead body, you get a treasure map from him. And you go off and do this little side mission where you've got to find some treasure.
So, like, a nice open world feeling.
Yeah. So you can get all these random little side missions.
Do you know if you use your boat, obviously, to travel between places?
Yeah, yeah. Your boat is the second main character. You upgrade the boat. You treat it as if it's a person, the way they were trying... That's the way they're trying to get you to take it.
Yeah, like number 3, you sort of got on the boat, it switched to a new sort of... this thing, and then you sailed somewhere, and then it switched back.
This is seamless. You go up to the boat, press a button, you start driving it. There's no loading screen between it. From what I saw, I don't know if they're going to keep with that, but it's there is no loading screen. You just get on the boat.
It's a current gen title as well, isn't it?
It's coming out on both.
And new.
It's coming out on both.
So
I'll be getting it on current.
With the new gen, which is boasting no loading times and all that sort of stuff, they would have to make it that way on the current gen.
Yeah.
If they didn't, then no one would buy it on the current gen.
Well, I reckon people still would, because I don't
think... I still would, because I'm not upgrading. I won't be upgrading till next year. So...
Well, things have to come down a little bit pricey. Yeah, it's only 350 compared to 500.
Like, I won't be upgrading... Also, because for the next year, most games are coming out on both.
Yeah.
Like, current and new. The only games that I'd have to actually wait for would be Halo or... That's about it. From all of the...
all the games that are due to be released.
Yeah, from all the ones that are only going to be on the next gen, there aren't that many that really appeal to me. All the ones that I liked are coming out on the other one.
Yeah,
but let's not turn it into that discussion again, otherwise James will get angry.
Watch Dogs on both?
I think it is.
No, I mean, both gens, not...
Yeah, no, I think it's on both gens. I'm sure I've seen that.
It's not both gens, no.
Is it not? I thought I saw that on Xbox. Okay. That game is good, though.
Yeah.
Watch Dogs, I think it is a PlayStation title.
No, it's on both.
Is it both?
Yeah.
I know it's both.
I know it's not next
consoles, but I wasn't sure whether it was both.
Wait, when you say next
gen? Both gens.
Okay. So it's only going to be on the 1 and the 4?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is the 1?
Because it's the only one console you'll need, or the one box that you will need.
The one device.
The consumer the other day, and he said, "Oh, I'll call the Xbox One the 180 because they just didn't."
Yeah, yeah, he made that joke. But
and
people have made the joke.
It wasn't funny.
No, I said it was funny.
I made that joke when the news came out, though.
Someone had already said that.
Oh, not to me.
Okay, I'm saying you weren't the first person.
No,
to say
I'm sure
it.
I wasn't the very first person to say it, but
you were like the third or something.
That's still quite good.
Then that would also imply that it's half the console that the 360 is as well.
Because I get told that I am
an Xbox fanboy.
Yeah, I'm gonna slate Microsoft right now.
Go on.
Microsoft own any fan fiction or anything to do with the Halo universe written by anyone. If you, Trevor, because I know that you've written that fan fiction about Master Chief and I need another character and Nathan Drake. Yeah, you know, you wrote that fanfic, that slash fiction about the two of them.
That would be such a weird thing.
Yeah?
That would be so odd.
Microsoft own it.
Because it's got Master Chief in it.
Yeah.
But it does affect me because of my drawing.
Yeah. If they find that and decide that they want to use that drawing in the Halo universe...
They can just take it and use it.
It's a bomb plot.
Yep. yeah, so if they decide that that picture may be one of the Spartans in the next game drew that, and in his quarters in his room on the Infinity, he had it up as a poster on the wall. They could put that there.
Without paying you.
Because they already own the rights to it.
It's not that they own the rights to it.
How have they said that that's true?
This...
Like, how do you get the rights to everything?
I have an article. John has an article.
It's to do with characters and intellectual property. So they invented Master Chief, so they have the right to say... No one can do anything with Master Chief without
then why
permission.
Why isn't all fan art and fan stuff owned by the people that originally?
Because most people.
Okay. Dicks. This means if you add to the game universe or expand the story told in the game with lost chapters or backstory or anything like that, distribution of your story or ideas may appear in future games without any compensation to you. That's what Microsoft said.
Oh, right. So if you write a fanfic and they then use that story in the actual game...
Yeah, you don't get anything.
They don't...
But it still means...
It applies to art and everything.
Yeah, it still means if your picture, they could take that and just put it in the game and not tell you about it.
They can use your concept and your ideas.
Because what it is...
Because your concept is based on
their
concept.
So. What it is there is a game coming out... Well, there's a game being made called... What is it called? I need to find the name. It's called Project Contingency. It's basically, Black Mesa Source.
Yeah.
You know how that remade Half-Life?
Yep.
It's that. They've remade Halo. They haven't stolen any assets or used any existing assets. They've made their own. And that's what they've come up with.
Okay.
That looks just like the Phantoms, right?
Yeah.
So they've made it all from scratch, and they've remade Halo. They got all worried because they suddenly got a cease and desist from Microsoft.
Right. Did you just call it a decease and desist?
Cease and desist. They got a cease.
Yeah, no, I thought you said a decease.
I may have said that. Who knows?
It's like die and stop.
Or stop and then die. Just no more. Yeah, so they got that and they were all a bit worried about it. But they spoke to a guy who works for 343 at RTX.
Yeah.
And he said you should be okay with it. So they're going to...
It doesn't use their concept, it uses...
Well, no, it does use their concept. They're remaking the game from scratch.
Okay, their concept, they're not their art.
Yeah, well. But it's because...
It's using the same models and the same...
But because it is continuing the storyline, the thing is, they will either be given a cease and desist and have to stop, or Microsoft will just be okay with it, but if they add any extra things to the universe, Microsoft can take it if they want. So if they add an extra bit where... the Arbiter's actually Irish. The Arbiter could become Irish and they don't own the rights to it.
Right.
I'm being very stupid with the ideas, but...
An awful idea, though, on Microsoft's part. Because there are a lot of talented fan fiction writers. That's not a sentence I thought I'd ever say.
Then I know, but
if Microsoft then use it, they're not going to get copyright suits.
I think they should... I mean, they said artists. That they don't have to give credit, but I think they should at least give credit.
Yeah, they're in... Some form of credit, or even just on the image itself,
because
if it's a picture in the game, or something like that.
They've always been Microsoft and Bungie and all these people have always been good in the Halo universe with giving credit. Remember the fan room?
Yeah.
In was it Reach?
Well, I wouldn't say Microsoft have.
That was a Bungie thing, but 343 had done it as well.
Yeah, no, I think 343 will give credit where it's due.
But they are a sub-company of Microsoft.
Yes, I don't think that Microsoft would force it on them if they chose not to.
Yeah, but...
But I think that 343 would be like, well, either we don't want to use it because it's not one of our ideas, or if we're going to use it, we'll give credit in some form. It'll be a fan room, or we'll name the character after who wrote it.
Or in the credits, there may be a... special thanks to, and then a long list of all these fanfic writers, people who they've nicked stuff from.
That would be quite interesting. Like,
but no,
special thanks to like Halo fan 363 from fanfiction.net.
Oh, good. Now, how many creepypastas would they have to?
That's the plot of Halo 5.
What, creepypasta?
Yeah, Halo Master Chief meets Slenderman.
I thought you had a love triangle with Slender Man and Nathan Drake.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Heard it here first.
I heard that from...
Oh, no, they're going to nick it from us now. Give us credit.
What was it? Is it Kittle?
Who, him?
Yeah,
Kittle Prototype.
Yeah, Kittle Prototype on fanfiction. That's where I read
it. Yes, I heard that too. that's how he do. I had a point to make. Yeah, I feel like they've said that, you know, we don't have to give... I'm hoping it's that we don't have to give...
probably will.
Yeah, just in case they forget to.
But, we don't have to, but we probably will.
We probably will, but we can't make any promises about that.
Because we might forget.
Who are you again?
Just like they forgot Ray didn't work.
What?
In the picture of Ray.
When he snuck into the 343 picture, yeah. That's quite awesome, though. For years, he's gonna be in that picture, and these kids gonna be like, "Who's that guy?" I have no idea. That's Ray. We hate him.
You would think the guys at 343 know who Ray is, though.
Yeah, they have a weird relationship. Yeah, I think we've got to the end of all our articles.
Sorry.
Unless any of you know anything about Dread.
Nope. Not a single.
Well, we'll leave that one for Adam when he decides to turn up. At
Adam's
some point.
Not gonna turn up because.
Because have you killed him? Or has he committed genocide again and so he's been taken away by the authorities?
He's been committed for his genocidal acts.
Gosh darn it, Adam. You had one job, and it wasn't to commit genocide. No, it wasn't to be. I know what everyone thinks about Binary Corps.
One job.
I know what you think we're like, but no, genocide is not something that we want.
It's often. Only something that Adam wants.
Yeah.
All the time.
All the time. He is the most genocidal. Anyway, we're getting off topic. What was the topic? Adam's a genocidist.
I thought that was off topic.
No, he's Hitler. Oh, sorry. Godwin.
Hitler Godwin?
What? Oh, my God.
I'm sure you said Godwin.
Yeah, Godwin. Godwin's Law.
Oh, right. I thought you were saying that his name is Hitler Godwin. The third.
That would make a lot of sense, actually. We know about Godwin's Law, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Let's end this here. It's been going on far too long.
Yes.